Blog Talk Radio.
And I have to tell you,
Okay, you know.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Well, I know that Cleveland got a whole bunch of brownies today. Should be getting my shipment tomorrow, thank goodness. That'll certainly make up for the chocolate soup, but not for unpredictable shit. Ta-da! Well, let's see. I loaded up a whole bunch of great music. Let's see. I have some time because I want to make sure that I get before the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame calls in. I chose one particular singer that, to me, I guess, and a lot of other people, kind of represents rock and roll. didn't know who it was. It was Janis Joplin. Not live, because she's not. Now, I'm just curious. Who do I have on the air at the moment?
Hi, Merle.
Yeah?
Hi, it's Monique Marengo from Marengo Luxury Spa.
Yes, it's time to talk about the spa. Oh, wow. That was some facial.
Oh, I'm so glad you enjoyed it.
Now, what I love everybody to hear is the step-by-step of exactly what was done to my face and all those little gadgets that were used.
Sure, I'd be happy to explain it to you. Well, it's our signature deluxe facial. So it's an 80-minute treatment. It's basically all about your face. They start with a steam bath on your face while they wash your hair, or I'm sorry, wash your face. Then they use... It's called our microdermabrasion cream, and they put some of that on with the steam. Now, what that does is it loosens all the dead skin cells, and that way they can start off with a really smooth texture to your skin. Let's see. So after the exfoliating treatment, they also do a hand and arm massage. Using some really nice hand lotion. They put your hands in heated gloves, and basically that's a 10-minute little bit of luxury during your facial. After they do the exfoliation treatment, that's when they did the galvanic on you. The galvanic treatment, it's using positive and negative electricity to open and close your pores.
Now, what gadget was it? I mean, what?
Well, that was the one where you held it in your hands and then they used the rollers on your skin. Do you remember that part of it?
I held it in my hand?
Yeah, there was something that you held in your hand.
Oh, they probably said, hold this, and I probably didn't
yeah.
know.
It's basically like a conductor for the electricity.
You go, hold it, and I go, sure, whatever you say.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you were so relaxed that you didn't even realize what was going on.
Right.
But what they do is they apply an ampoule, which is it's concentrated. It's a concentrated liquid, and it's based on your skin type. So I think what we used on you was the caviar complex. And it's basically for damage, stress, dry skin. And so they rub that into the skin, and then they use the galvanic to open your pores so that that concentrated liquid goes into your pores. So they're using a roller brush to basically get that under the surface. And then they, after that treatment, you had your facial massage, which is fantastic. The esthetician who did your facial, her name was Victoria, and she does an amazing facial massage. Basically, that also works the product into your skin, and it relaxes you. It helps with lymphatic drainage so that all the toxins are being removed from your skin. It's a really nice part of the facial. And then she also did extractions on you. So when they do the extractions, that was the other machine that she used. Basically, it's a high frequency, and it's going to... any sort of extractions that were done, it's going to help get rid of any bacteria, things like that, which is not a really nice thing to talk about when you're talking about your skin. But, you know, anytime they're removing things from your pores.
Pimples and blackheads.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it helps it so that they don't get infected.
Okay.
Because then, you know, you don't want to have a wonderful facial and then come away from it and have little red bumps all over your skin. So the high frequency is, again, it's electricity, and it's, of course, you know, it doesn't electrocute you. It's a low voltage, but it does help to kill all the bacteria in your skin, which helps.
And that was, it was interesting because that one of the things I do notice when I get a facial is that when I come away, like a little while, not too much while later, I got bumps on my skin. It's like you could tell that when somebody just gets a facial sometimes with the redness and some bumps.
Yes.
And this time I didn't.
Oh, great. That's good to hear. Yeah, and that's what that high frequency is for. It basically kills all the bacteria so that they can really do a nice pore cleansing, get rid of anything, you know, whiteheads, blackheads under the surface of the skin, and then, you know, you come away with your skin glowing and you don't have any problems, you know, the next day or a few days later with all these bumps.
Okay. Now I have a question.
Yes.
How does one get dead skin cells?
Well, it just happens. I mean, it's just a part of the cell turnover. It's not just on your face, it's the whole body. So basically your skin is renewing itself every day, and the dead skin cells are basically, you know, the cells that have new and fresh skin cells underneath them, and it's pushing them away from your skin. So you want those gone because that can clog your pores. It can make your skin look dull, it makes you look older. So having that removed from your skin is going to make you glow.
Ah, so how often can you, so every day, could you give yourself a facial?
Well, we don't recommend an entire facial. Teenagers can use a microdermabrasion cream or an exfoliating cream on their face every couple days because they're very oily. For more mature skin, it's generally 1 to 2 times a week. And then as far as your facial goes, most people do it every 4 weeks.
Okay. What about adults, menopausal adults?
I would recommend about
hormones.
Once a month.
Oh, my God, how can I be breaking out now?
Yeah.
I used to break out when I was a teenager.
Well, either a deep cleansing facial or like the Marengo anti-aging facial, because our anti-aging facial incorporates everything which is in a standard European facial, and then we put in all the extra treatments for aging skin or hormonal skin. Basically, you know, I would guess anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks would be appropriate.
Okay. I'll make sure, although I can't, you know, come into Cleveland very often, but I'll...
Well, we'd love to have you if you'd come again. My staff had a great time with you.
I'm sure I joked enough there, too. Now, but I also had, I have to tell you, I never have manicures, and it's still there.
Really?
Yes, and here's the surprise, because this is, the reason I don't like to have a manicure is, first of all, my nails are solid anyway, so I don't have to have one, but the whole thing is, it's about the nail polish.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand, like, if I put nail polish on, and if it's, like, one little scratch on one nail, and I go, oh, I have to fix it. And then I try to fix it, and now it doesn't look like the other nails. And I go, the hell with it, I'm taking it all off. That's what usually happens.
Mm-hmm.
However, I know you, I don't know what you applied, but it hasn't chipped or anything. It's still on. I mean, it's not a color.
It's the entire process. I mean, they use something to get the oil off the nail. They use a base coat, 2 coats of polish and a top coat, and then, you know, a spray on top to seal it in. So we like to make sure that, you know, when a client leaves here, that her hands are going to look great for at least a couple weeks.
Oh, okay. We'll see how long it lasts. With me, but so far it's so good.
Well, it's been 8 days so far, so
yeah, that's
I think
not
you're
bad
doing well.
At all. But now, also tell us, you know, about some of the other treatments that you have to offer. I mean, well, we know that as opposed to just like, I mean, like, you know, you do hair and pedicures, manicures, and stuff
yes.
like that.
Well,
but
we're
let's go into, what I want to go into a little is what kind of, let's say, body treatments.
Oh, sure. We do a lot of body wraps. We have several different kinds. We have herbal body wraps. We have mud wraps. We have shea butter wraps. We also do salt glows, which is a full body exfoliation. So we have several of those. One is mango and mandarin. Another is pomegranate and cranberry. Another is milk and honey. So those are all scrubs and wraps. Of course, we also do massages, full body massages. Very popular service, very relaxing. Everything we do everything from hot stone to deep tissue. We have a lot of travelers coming through the spa because of all the hotels downtown, so we do quite a few jet lag massages. Those are really nice. They use essential oils that are, you know, they're good for when you come off the plane to basically make you not feel as bloated and also more hydrated. We also do other types of skincare services. We do a lot of gentlemen's face treatments. And then your pedicures, your manicures, your waxing services, and then all of the haircuts and coloring and relaxing services.
Of the massages, what do you think is the most popular one?
The most popular, I think, will always be the Swedish relaxation massage. A lot of people come in on lunch hours or after work, and they just need to de-stress a little.
Okay, and the most popular of the wraps?
Would probably be the shea butter body wrap. It's using pure shea butter, which is massaged into the skin, and then you're wrapped up, and it's a type of body wrap that you don't need to shower after, so your skin feels so smooth, so hydrated, and you can still, you know, put your clothes on and go about your day.
Oh, you have chicken wraps and roast beef wraps, too? And
well, we do offer catering for our spa parties, which we do quite a few of.
Oh, that's good. Well, I didn't need any food. We certainly ate our way through Cleveland.
That's, we have a lot of great restaurants here.
Oh, yeah. We only got to really get to restaurants that were at hotels. I wish I had the opportunity to visit some of the other restaurants. Do you have a favorite restaurant there or some that you like, by the way?
There are a lot of great restaurants.
It has nothing to do with this, but...
Yeah. Well, right down the street from us is Lola's, which is owned by the gentleman who won Iron Chef America.
Oh,
so that's
wow.
a fantastic
I'm
one. It's Michael Simon is
Michael
his name.
Michael Simon, right.
Yeah.
As
so his restaurant is within walking distance.
Okay. That's as opposed to Paul Simon, right.
Yeah. I don't think he'd have a very good restaurant.
No, not at all. Well, he'd sing in it, but...
Well, yeah, that part might be good.
Yeah. By the way, and I don't know if you hear, did you keep hearing, like, little beeps?
No.
You don't hear the beeps, right?
I don't hear them.
Okay. No, I always have people, for some reason or other, as much as I try to explain, like, I say, you can't call my home phone number when I'm on the radio because I can't answer the phone. And yet they'll insist on doing it. But, you know, that's okay. And I keep saying, no, the phone number to call me on is, and I give them that. And of course, if they want to interrupt me right now, if they called in, I'd say, oh, there's somebody calling in. Well,
oh.
How do you need to interrupt me? yes, anyway. So how long is Marengo? Oh, tell us a little about that... the area that you're located in, the gallery or something?
It's the Gateway.
Okay.
Basically, our downtown is going through a lot of construction. It's really being revitalized. So this area that we're in, I don't know if you happened to notice all of the construction outside the arcade.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually going to finish in 2 weeks. So they'll be relaunching downtown with a lot of parties and special events. But we have what's called the East 4th Street neighborhood, which is a lot of restaurants and entertainment. Pickwick and Frolic, which is a comedy club. I think it's been here, I don't know, like 100 years. It's been here forever. There's also House of Blues for live music. So this area is really nice. And then a good thing about downtown here, it's you can walk everywhere, assuming that the weather's behaving. But we have the Warehouse District, which is a few blocks away, which also has phenomenal restaurants and bars and, you know, things to do in the evening. So
the area that, like, you are in, there's, like, little shops and stuff over there?
Yes, there's little shops, little restaurants, a lot of clubs and bars. It's really, it's a great place to be if you're traveling and you're staying in the hotels downtown, because regardless of which hotel you're in.
What's the hotel? But you're part of a hotel, right?
Well, we're in what's called the Arcade. It was built in 1890, and the Hyatt Hotel is also here.
Okay.
What they've done is they've taken all of the upper floors of the arcades and turned them into sleeping rooms, and then there's also two towers, which are their sleeping rooms.
Oh, okay, because I thought I got the sense that there was a connection with a hotel.
Well, we are connected to their lobby, and it's really great for both of us. Their clients all, you know, have access to spa services, and, of course, with the hotel being here, we have a lot of people walking through the arcade seeing that we're here, where, you know, normally they, being from out of town, they may not know that there's a spa downtown.
Nice. And what about, do you have a website?
Our website is www.marengospa.com.
That's M-A-R, right?
Yes, MarengoSpa.com.
Okay, cool. And basically, you open at...
We're open Monday through Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And we're basically here 10 to 7 during the week, 9 to 6 on weekends.
Right.
And we offer a lot of different spa, full and half-day spa packages as well. They're all listed on our website.
Great. Fabulous. The next time I make my way back to Cleveland, which I'm not sure after after what went on there, whether they'll ask me back.
Oh.
Well, I have to say, we really had a good time.
Oh, I'm glad.
If Positively Cleveland didn't do things to make us have fun, I added to it, you know.
Well, they're a good group, so I'm sure they pointed you in the right direction and kind of let you go.
Yeah, I think so. All right, I appreciate your calling in.
Oh, well, thanks for having me.
And explaining what the hell you did to my face. See, my eyes are closed, so I don't know what was going on. I don't know.
Well, hopefully you still have
eyes,
that glow.
Yeah. They don't want me to know what these machines look like. I don't know. That's why I just thought it would be nice for you to explain, you know.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Well, again, thanks a lot, and hopefully I'll see you when I come back to Cleveland.
Definitely. Please come back to the spa, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
You're welcome. Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Whoa, let's see. Well, before I get to my next guest, hopefully I have Jason Akins from NFL Football Hall of Fame before I get to him. Wait, my intro. Here's my intro for him. Steve, put this up for me. Here we are.
Are you ready for some football?
Oh, that's all. I thought it was longer than that. Let's do it again.
Are you ready for some football?
Okay, I guess we are ready. So, hopefully. So, Jason, are you on the line here?
Yes. Hi, Merle. How are you?
Oh, just fine.
Good.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, that was quite an intro. I've never had such a big introduction. Hank Williams Jr., and you went out and got him. And
Yeah. Yeah, he came to my office and personally did this.
I didn't know you were such a big time show.
You just never know who's gonna stop by my house.
Yeah, sure.
So Jason, first, I want to tell us there's gonna be an induction coming up. I believe, is it Saturday, August 2nd, or is that the game itself?
That's right. The enshrinement is Saturday, August 2nd at 6 p.m. We're inducting Darryl Green and Art Monk, who played together for the Washington Redskins, Andre Tippett, who played for the New England Patriots, was a great sack master for them, Gary Zimmerman, who was on the Denver Broncos and Minnesota Vikings. He was an offensive lineman for them. And Emmett Thomas, who was a great defensive back for the Kansas City Chiefs back in the 1960s and 70s. And Fred Dean, who was a defensive end for the San Diego Chargers and also won two Super Bowls with the San Francisco 49ers, and they'll all the induction ceremonies will start at 6. People could still buy tickets. It's also going to be on ESPN and NFL Network, so there's no reason why nobody should see it.
Yeah. Although, you know, I'm hooked on the New York Sharks, so, you know.
You have a game that evening?
No, we don't have a game.
There you go.
Yeah, but it might be doing a fundraiser. I know.
Oh, okay.
In August. I'm not sure.
Okay. Okay.
Fundraiser for Fins Up. But anyway, to get back to how does one get inducted into the Hall of Fame? I mean, what's the criteria for this happening?
Well, players and coaches have to be retired for 5 years, and then they're eligible. Owners or contributors are eligible at any point. Once they're eligible, they are. If a person is at least a Pro Bowl or an All Pro, they're put on the ballot. And then any fan can nominate somebody to the Hall of Fame as well. And we have a national board of selectors that are polled at least 5 times before we have our final vote at the Super Bowl, where we select the class that must be from 4 to 7 members. And that's basically it. And our selectors come from all over, are basically sports writers from each NFL city, and we also have a group of national selectors from such news organizations as Sports Illustrated and USA Today.
And so who is it like each team nominating somebody? Is that how it works? Or?
Well, we put... once they become eligible and we feel like they have very good credentials, we put them on the ballot, and any fan can put a person, can nominate somebody to the Hall of Fame as well. And we start with a preliminary list of people, of players and contributors, and sometimes that number's between 60 or 70 people. And then we narrow down that group throughout the course of the year, and we get to 25 semifinalists, and then 15 finalists, and then those 15 finalists are voted on by the selectors at the Super Bowl. So it is a very long selection process. It takes several months for the voters to work on the new class.
Now let's get to your place itself. Tell us what kind of like what's there, and I just and there's some new things. Well, get to the main things that are there, what people can see, and the new things.
Sure. Well, we have 83 square thousand feet of exhibit space, and we're open every day but Christmas. And we cover pretty much all of professional football played in the United States, and actually we cover some of the professional football played internationally, based on American rules and. So we trace pro football back to 1892, and we cover the game's history from that point on. Just recently, we completed two multi-million-dollar renovations, our new Moments, Memories, and Mementos room, which focuses on mementos or artifacts from our Hall of Famers, and this new exhibit is very interactive. Features a lot of touchscreen technology and video that people can pull up information about their Hall of Famer. Each artifact has a video, so where you can you're interested in a particular football. And you touch a picture of that football on a computer screen, and you can pick up video or audio of that Hall of Famer talking about that particular memento. We also have our new Pro Football Today room, which covers more of the modern players and features a lot of the recent records that some of the modern players have broken. Also, in the middle of the Pro Football Today room is our new traveling exhibit, Pro Football and the American Spirit. And that exhibit covers how the NFL has responded in times of crisis, all the different players that have served in the military, going back to the hundreds of players that served in World War II all the way to the present, where Pat Tillman was killed in while serving our country in Afghanistan, and his Army Ranger uniform is on display in the exhibit, and his Arizona Cardinals jersey is on display in that exhibit as well, and that's probably the most impactful memento we have in that exhibition, and there's a lot of video and computer touchscreen technology in the whole exhibit. One of the features is our film, the NFL in 6 minutes, which basically summarizes the past season in a 6 minute time span, ending with the. So New York Giants winning Super Bowl 42.
So other than now, the interactive things are basically touchscreen things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of touchscreen technology where you can pick up video on different mementos and different players. In our ground level exhibit area, we have actually a throwing cage and a lot more interactive trivia games. We also have our John Madden video game, and we'll soon be getting the 2009 version, and kids can play the John Madden video free of charge. And basically, once you pay your admission, there are no other upcharges in the museum. You can go through the museum and enjoy it completely without any other charges for any of the other exhibits. So there's a lot of things to do. Even for the non-football fan, there's we have all of the Super Bowl rings which a lot of people get a kick out of, seeing all the rings from Super Bowl I to the Super Bowl 42. So there's a lot for everybody to enjoy.
It really can keep you busy for hours.
Yeah, generally most people take the average visitor 2 to 3 hours. There are some people that will spend the whole day and come back the following day and visit as well. It would probably to take you to read every piece of text in the museum, it would probably take you 2 or 3 days to read everything that is there. So there's a lot of information there. We cover every team from the Carolina Panthers and Jacksonville Jaguars, Houston Texans, all the way going back to the first NFL team, Chicago Bears. And even some of the teams that are now defunct, going way back to the beginning. So we cover the whole gamut.
Well, I'm just going to check something. I don't know whether I have a caller that's asking a question or if it's my next guest, but I'm just in case it's a caller with a question. Let's just see who this is. Who do I have calling in?
Hi, it's Meredith Rutledge from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, well, then I'll put you back on hold.
Okay.
Since you're not going to ask a question, unless you have a question for the Football Hall of Fame.
How you doing down there in Canton?
Good. It's hot, probably just like up in Cleveland.
Yeah, it's really hot.
Typical Ohio weather in this time.
Yeah,
humid.
It's true.
Yep.
It sure is.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, I'll get to you in a few minutes.
No problem. It's actually really good to hear about the Football Hall of Fame. I've only ever seen it from the highway, so it's good to hear about what's going on there.
Well, I've been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a few times. I know Christy Lucco and June Francisco in the curatorial department. They do a great job up there.
Great.
And you can actually, we have the group package where you can visit both sites in the same
day. I just heard that our marketing director tell me about that, and I think it's a great idea.
That's great, too.
We have a lot of people come, in the morning, visit us, and then drive up to Cleveland or vice versa all the time at both places.
Yeah, it's a long time coming. It should have happened a long time ago. I really think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I think so.
Sure.
I want to get back to something with the Football Hall of Fame to tell my audience on what we did regarding the New York Sharks.
Yes, you presented even more memorabilia on women's pro football to us, and it's been a great addition to our collection. And very few people realize that the pro football continues throughout the year with the women's pro league as well.
As a matter of fact, it's really going to be interesting because the New York Sharks have been chosen to participate in a flag football international tournament. The only team chosen from the United States. So there's got to be at least 80 women's tackle football teams. And they chose the Sharks to play flag football, which is going to be interesting because now all the players that are used to tackling and, all the defensive stuff can't do it.
Sure.
No contact. So.
They're going to have to hold up. they better represent our country. This is where we invented the game, so they better win.
But I think, as a matter of fact, I think they're practicing right now. They're at practice right now. As I'm looking at the clock, that's because I know they're busy practicing. But anyway, so to get back to your place, so that people can contribute artifacts.
Oh yeah, we everything we receive is through donations. We don't have a budget to purchase anything, and we are a nonprofit organization. Any donation to the Hall of Fame is tax deductible.
Okay.
And a lot of our great mementos have come from just people. Just from the general public. For instance, when we opened in 1963, our director got a phone call from a woman who had Jim Thorpe's Carlisle Indian School sweater, and Jim Thorpe was the really first great athlete to come into pro football. He was a gold medalist in the 1912 Olympics, and the lady offered it to our director, and he said, you know, oh, we'd love to have it. And she told him, you know, we're not doing too much with it. Our dog is using it as a dog bed right now, and so you're more than welcome to have it. And he was pretty shocked that, and this was back in 1963 when people didn't, the memorabilia business wasn't that big. And that's one of our prize collections. One of our first exhibits features that Jim Thorpe Carlisle sweater, and Jim Thorpe was the first president of the NFL too. So,
oh, cool.
So we get a lot of things just from the general public that can, you know, you can make a contribution to the Hall of Fame, become part of pro football history.
So, Jason, what's the website?
www.profootballhof.com. Is our website, and you can buy tickets for the enshrinement through the website, and also we have fan packages for the Hall of Fame game, which is the next day after the enshrinement, and you can get a lot more information about pro football history and all the Hall of Famers.
Right.
And plan your next
visit. That's between the Colts and the Washington Redskins.
That's right. Yeah, that'll be on Sunday at 8 p.m. It'll actually be broadcasted on NBC. It's going to be the first game of the year. So we're looking forward to it. It's our big kickoff to the whole season.
Okay. Cool. We're going to get to talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I want to thank you, Jason, for calling in and chatting with us and giving us all this fabulous info.
Thanks, Laurel.
And hopefully the next time I'm down there, the Sharks will be a pro team.
Yes, okay. All right. Well, we'll keep hoping. We'll keep hoping the popularity of women's pro football keeps growing.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
I'll let you know how the game goes. And it's next week, I believe.
Well, they better win it for the USA.
That's what I say.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, bro. Bye bye.
Have a great evening. Bye bye.
Bye.
Well, I'm going to go to a quick commercial break. All right. I won't do a food. Okay.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No. No, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room. I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue. Based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
I just love that commercial. It's so cute.
It's pretty funny.
Okay. Isn't it cute? Isn't it cute?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I know. It's adorable. I asked them. I said, give me a commercial, but don't give me a serious one. And they gave me this one, and I said, oh, I just love it. It's so adorable.
Yeah.
So let's get to now the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I played, by the way, a Janis Joplin song. That's apropos, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just wanted to make sure. So tell us, first of all, I'm sure everybody knows that there is a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So I want to just first get into who, was there a recent induction?
Yes. We had our most recent induction in March of 2008, and the class of 2008 included Leonard Cohen, the Dave Clark Five, Madonna, John Mellencamp, The Ventures, the songwriting and production team of Gamble and Huff, and Little Walter.
Some of them I know.
Yeah.
Wow, the Dave Clark Five.
Yeah.
What was the song that they, I can't even think of it. What was the song? Do you remember?
Well, their biggest hit was probably Bits and Pieces. And then another one of their big hits was Glad All Over.
Oh, I guess I'm feeling glad
all
over. That's right.
That's it. That I
remember.
You got it.
Okay.
You got it.
And so now, how is it decided on who gets inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? How does that decision come about?
Well, the induction process is basically pretty simple. Artists become eligible for induction 25 years after the release of their first record. That's basically it. The criteria for induction include the influence and significance of the artist's contribution to the development and perpetuation of rock and roll. And that can be interpreted in a number of different ways. It's open-ended enough that we can be inclusive rather than exclusive, which is what we like to be at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
So, and so at this point right now, what exhibits are up right now? What's going on presently of the changing exhibits?
Right. Well, our revolving exhibit space and our temporary exhibit space, which is on the top of the building on the sixth floor, we have Break On Through, The Lasting Legacy of the Doors, which is an overview of the career of the Doors. And it runs through September. And then on the fifth floor, we have a look at the Beatles movie Help. And that runs through September as well. And then we have our new inductee exhibit. Every year, we get artifacts from each of the inductees and put them on display at the end of the hallway that leads from the actual Hall of Fame that's in the part of the building that sits out over Lake Erie. It sort of looks like it's a drum-shaped structure. And then we have a great exhibit that I hope that I'm not too big-headed by touting because it was my baby, called Take Me Out, Baseball Rocks, and it's all about the connection between baseball and popular music. And then we have a photography exhibit by Paul McCartney's brother, Mike McCartney, and it's called Mike McCartney Liverpool Life. And that runs through September as well.
And when you say the baseball in relation to music, is that like the songs that become popular at the parks? Is that what you're referring to?
Well, you know, the way that the exhibit started was we all went out to a baseball game to say goodbye to one of our colleagues. He was a big baseball fan, and instead of having a party at a restaurant, we decided to take him out to a ball game. And our chief curator was with us, and he just wondered out loud why certain players pick the song that they use as their at-bat scene. And that just kind of evolved into Take Me Out. And we look at the songs that baseball players use around the league as their at-bat themes. We look at the earliest songs written about baseball. The first song written about baseball was in 1858, and it's a polka. It's called the Baseball Polka, and we have the sheet music for that. We look at baseball players who are musicians, like Denny McLean, who played for the Tigers, who was a brilliant organist. You'd never know that. Or Jack McDowell, who actually pitched for the Indians for a while. And he had an alternative band in the 90s called Stick Figure. We have a copy of his CD. And then we have some stuff from musicians who happen to be baseball players, like George Thorogood, who was a minor league player. MC Hammer was a bat boy for the Oakland A's for many years and had a really important political role in that organization. And we talk a little bit about that. And we talk about the songs that came out of, that were dedicated to the great athletes that desegregated baseball. I personally found it really interesting that the birth of rock and roll sort of coincided with the desegregation of baseball. And we've got a couple of great songs dedicated to Jackie Robinson and Larry Doby, who a lot of people don't know, followed Jackie Robinson only by 3 months in desegregating the American League. Jackie Robinson, of course, played for the Brooklyn Dodgers and broke the color line in the National League. But here in Cleveland, Larry Doby did that same thing and didn't get as much attention or credit for doing that. But we have a song that's dedicated to him that came out in 1947. And a song called "Did You See Jackie Robinson Hit That Ball" by Count Basie, which is a great song. It's wonderful to hear. We actually have it on the listening kiosk that we have as interactives as part of the exhibit.
So cool what exhibit. What interactive things do you have there?
Besides the. The listening kiosk that we have as part of the baseball exhibit, we have a thing called the 500 Songs That Shape Rock and Roll that were picked by our curators and a group of educators and journalists. It really sort of takes you through the important music in the history of rock and roll, and even before. I mean, we go back to the 20s. We have a thing called The Beat Goes On, which talks about influences, who influenced who, and then who went on to influence that artist. Like, perhaps we'd start with Hank Williams, who influenced Bob Dylan, who influenced the Beatles, and it's kind of like a family tree of rock and roll, if you will. We have a thing called Dedicated to the One I Love, which is all about radio, and it has air checks from disc jockeys throughout the history of radio and from every major market in the country. You can put on the headphones and listen to Alan Freed from the 1950s in Cleveland, or Mad Daddy, who was in the Detroit area, DJs from all around the country. And we have 5 hours of films. We have.
Did you say 5 hours?
Yes, 5 hours of film. We have an introductory film to the museum. It's called Mystery Train, that talks about where rock and roll came from, its roots in country, folk and bluegrass and rhythm and blues and gospel and all those different roots that came together to make rock and roll, and it takes you right up to Elvis and beyond. We have a film that's called Rock Is that stars a lot of our inductees, including Pete Townsend, Tom Petty. Bono of U2 has a big role in the film, just talking about their lifestyles and what it is to be a rock and roll star. And then the centerpiece of our film exhibits, at least, is our Hall of Fame movie, which shows a soundbite or a film clip of each one of our inductees. And it's really dynamic and great. It's on these 50-foot screens. There are three screens in this auditorium, and it's getting close to 2 hours long now, because we do each class of inductees, starting with the first time that we inducted, which was 1986, and goes up to 2008, and each group of inductees has about a 7 to 10 minute segment that just shows each artist and either in an interview or a performance shot. Sometimes it's just a photograph, sometimes it's just a sound bite, but we try to cover everybody. And it's just incredible to see the array of inductees and, you know, who these people are, and it just shows you the incredible diversity and the richness of this music.
When you're defining rock and roll, I mean, like, is there, like, cutoffs or when you're making a decision on, I mean, we think, you know, we sort of think rock and roll as almost as a beat sort of thing, a rhythm,
mm-hmm.
but you still have, like, would you consider Bette Midler rock and roll?
You know, I personally consider Bette Midler to be rock and roll. I think she's totally got a rock and roll heart. And a lot of the music that she has done could definitely be considered rock and roll. We, as I said earlier, we like to be inclusive rather than exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
So we consider rock and roll to be any music that has roots in rock and roll and can be traced back to country, folk, and bluegrass, rhythm and blues, gospel, which are what we consider to be the roots of rock and roll.
So, I mean, let's just say it's a rap star.
We definitely consider hip-hop to be part of the rock and roll family. We inducted Grandmaster Flash last year as the first hip-hop artist to be inducted. You know, sometimes we get into a lot of trouble with our visitors who don't think that certain artists belong. But you know, we're one big family, and it's all American music, and we want to be inclusive and celebrate.
So now, is there like just one charge for all, or some separate?
Uh-huh. Yeah, our admission is $22 for adults. And you pay that one fee, and you can enjoy the museum for the entire day. We also have a 2-day pass, and I really recommend that people go for that, because there's so much to see in the museum. We recommend that people put aside maybe three and a half hours to see the museum, and a lot of people are so just overwhelmed and can't believe that there's so much stuff to see that they want to come back a second day.
Right. So, and you can, and because the lake, Lakeshore Science Center, is that it? The lake?
It's right next door.
Okay.
The Great Lake Science Center is the actual name.
And so you could really, like, spend, like, at least more than a half a day between the two places, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And there's also just a lot of things to do in Cleveland that you wouldn't I mean, a lot of people don't know about some of our cultural treasures. We're not really that far away from University Circle, which is considered
oh, yeah,
we
talked about that on last week's show. We had
right.
somebody right from University Circle
mm-hmm.
calling in to
yeah.
tell us all about that. Yeah, I went to the Botanical Gardens. I don't that's the one place I love there.
Yeah, it's beautiful, beautiful place there. And there's also places right around here. We have a World War II submarine called the Cod, which is actually within walking distance of the museum. And, you know, it's a World War II museum. We also have a ship that it's an ore boat, actually, an iron ore boat called the Mather. And it's giant. It's this huge, you know, floating behemoth, probably one of the largest ore boats in the world. And it's docked just steps away from the museum and is open as a maritime museum. And it's a pretty incredible thing. You know, it really documents the history of the steel industry in Cleveland, which, of course, was, you know, the driving influence of our economy for many, many years.
Yeah, also, I guess there's that other little area. Something was a Women's Air Force Museum? Women's? No? No.
Yeah. I believe it's the Women's Aerospace Museum.
Okay, right.
And it's at Burke Lakefront Airport. Unfortunately, I've never been there. I'm ashamed to say that I've not been there.
Okay.
But I'm thinking, I'm imagining that it's a cool place. I'm curious to go there.
We didn't get a chance to go there on the press trip, but I remember that we had the I think Lolly the Trolley passed by there.
Right.
we did that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So what is our website?
Our website is rockhall.com. Real easy. rockhall.com.
Okay. And is there any, like, what exhibits are coming up? Like, you know,
when the Doors and the Help exhibit are gone in September, we're going to open an exhibit called Sparkle and Twang, which I'm really excited about. It's the collection of Marty Stewart, who country fans will know as one of the virtuoso musicians in the country world. He's worked with Johnny Cash, and he's toured with Porter Wagoner. He's toured with Bob Dylan. He's got a really checkered career. And he was actually married to one of Johnny Cash's daughters. And he has had entree into these people's lives he's been a star since he was a child, and was, you know, on the Grand Ole Opry when he was like 12 or something. And he started collecting, he went on tour to England and went to the original Hard Rock Cafe and saw all of these costumes, stage costumes from country artists up on the walls, and he thought, well, geez, you know, these people at home put this stuff out on their lawns for garage sales. I better start collecting this stuff. And he's got incredible costumes from Hank Williams, Dolly Parton and Porter Wagoner, Bob Dylan, and of course Johnny Cash, that are so incredibly just colorful and sparkly. And he also has instruments and original handwritten lyrics. And this exhibit was at in Nashville and at the Arkansas State House is the last place it was. And we're bringing it to Cleveland. And, you know, because country music is such an important root of rock and roll, it absolutely, you know, sort of fulfills our mission. And I'm really excited about it. We're excited about bringing it here.
Great. Well, thanks a whole bunch for calling in and giving us all this information.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed it this time, but I did get there before, and probably the next time I get back to Cleveland, I'll drop in there and see what's new. But that will be next year, for all I know.
Okay. Well, we'll be happy to see you whenever you're able to make it.
Great. Thanks, and have a great evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, rock and roll. Okay. Now, so since rock and roll doesn't necessarily have to be something with a really heavy beat, I thought we'd listen to something on the lighter side.
A child named Bernadette. I heard the story long ago. She saw the Queen of Heaven once and kept the vision in her soul. Quiet way.
Trip to the hotel, the Coronado. I was to attend some seminars, and this was apparently they got my name, I think because I have a needless markup card. So they thought that I had money to invest. So to make a long story short, I went out there. Now, they didn't ask me anything about my political affiliation. And so they got into this thing, and they were talking about not just buying the silver bars, but they were telling you to bury them. And I, well, okay, I'm just kind of listening to this whole thing. We take a break, and I go into the back of the room, and there's a table full of publications all having to do with conservative Republicans. Now, I was wondering what this was all about. Why is this, you know, how does this all connect? And there was a point, and I don't remember, it could have been McCain's wife. I'm not sure. But it was the wife of the senator. This was in the mid-1980s. And the wife of the senator had gotten up to talk up to the women about, you know, that we should know our husband's assets or whatever. And here was the other thing, the connection. Now, I didn't, obviously, I didn't want to, being that I'm not a Republican, I didn't want to keep any of the books, but I did keep one. And one of them was had to do with Captain Red McDaniels, who was a POW. And what did this have to do with this whole thing? Well, one of the things they talked about was they would spend $1 million to buy back a POW. And I believe they might have done this with McDaniels. And I don't know, but there's some relationship between this and John McCain. So I urge people, I mean, I think somebody really needs to look into this. I don't, you know, like, I think this is all kind of, well, I'm not sure, but I think this, from what I heard, I didn't buy, of course, but I had heard that this was a scam and that people lost their money doing this. So I think somebody might really want to check this out before we make a decision on who we want to be president. I don't have much time left on the show, and I think I loaded up, let's say, one more song, or I think... No, those are the two songs that I kind of loaded up that we haven't heard yet. I'm trying to get some more songs for people to hear. So what I just think I'll do is, like, I'll just kind of end early. I don't know what happened to Robin Yates. I have a feeling he was one of the people that called my home phone number instead. So next week, hopefully, this is what I'm looking at for next week. I'm not sure. The definite, look, I'm going on a boat called the Bateau, B-A-T-E-A-U-X. And it's connected, like, with the Spirit of New York, one of those cruises. And I think I might have either the chef come on or someone else to come on and talk about the Bateau. I'm also receiving a book that somebody wrote called 15 Minutes of Fame that has to do with YouTube and step-by-step on how to do it, and I'll have somebody on to talk about that. And then a new Broadway show opened up. Well, actually, it's not a new show. A Broadway show opened up called Title of Show, which it was really, really good. Rather than get into the whole thing, because I'll talk about it next week. But this was a show that came from the Musical Theater Festival. I don't know if they have this in other places, which I'm sure they do, but they have, during the summertime, they have, first they have the Fringe Festival, and then they have something called the Musical Theater Festival, and you get to see all these new plays for like either $10 or $15. It's really cool. Title of Show was one of the ones that made it and then went to an off-Broadway theater, I think it was, I saw that a couple of years ago. So now it just opened, I think tonight's the opening night, and on Broadway. The show's a hoot, but we'll talk about that next week. So in the meantime, keep those cards and letters, or cards and emails coming in, and have a great evening, and you thought that Mallory wasn't around, but I'm home now.
Say hello to everybody. Say goodbye to everybody. I know you're the host of the show. I understand. I got it.